So you guys know that it's pretty common for me to start messages or at some point in a message to have a video. And I didn't get you one tonight as an illustration. I feel kind of bad. I'm a visual learner and visual illustrations are great for me. So what I'm going to do is give you an illustration that's probably never been used by me before. I'm going to reference Oprah. You guys are all familiar, I'm sure, with Oprah. Have you seen any of her shows? Have you guys ever watched Oprah a little bit, maybe? It's okay. No judgment. It's all right. Judgment-free zone. I just heard about this. I didn't see it, but I heard that Oprah had a show where she actually gave away a car, a new car, to every single person in attendance. Everybody in the audience got a free car. You're getting a free car. Yes. Woo. Yes. Isn't that great news? But that would be cool. I mean, wouldn't that be great if at a worship service, sometime just to bless everybody, if we could just say, you know what, on your way out, grab a set of keys because your new car is waiting in the parking lot. Here's the title. It's all yours. Now, that would be so exciting. And I was thinking about, you know, my response to that. I'd just, wow. I wouldn't know what to say. I'd probably be ready to pass out, but you know, what if you went out to your new car, you hit the key fob, because everybody's got one, so you got to find yours, you hit, and it beeps, and you go get in your new car, and you go to fire it up, and nothing happens. It doesn't start. And we don't know if it doesn't have, maybe it doesn't have a battery, or maybe it doesn't even have an engine, or maybe it's just fuel. But for some reason, it doesn't start. And what if, in our little illustration, what if you're sitting in your car and you can enjoy sitting in it? It's yours. You've got the title. You've got the keys. But what if it never starts? What if it never goes anywhere? You own it. It's yours. It's beautiful. And you're excited to have it. But all you can really ever do is sit in it and dream of going somewhere. And I was thinking about how the Christian life for a lot of people sometimes is like that. We know that it's something meant to be beautiful, and it's something that's meant to really take us somewhere. It's a journey that the Lord's taking us on, an adventure when we become a Christian. We don't get saved for boredom. But sometimes in the Christian life, we get this exciting new relationship with Christ, and then we just kind of sit and dream about what it could be because it lacks the power to go anywhere. Last week, we recognized the importance that God places on how we spend our time. And we talked about how God wants us to make wise use of our time. He wants us to use our time in a way that it's for His glory, it's for His honor. And we recognize that it's a gift from Him. The time we have comes from Him, so we use it to honor Him in the way that He wants. And sometimes when I hear a message like that, or the previous couple messages in this home improvement series, I think they've been somewhat challenging with I've been calling myself out on stuff, hopefully calling you guys out on some stuff, and you want to be more intentional with your time. And when I hear those messages that are a little challenging, sometimes I think that's great, you know, because I want my Christian life to be more than conquering, world-changing, victor for Christ. But then I know me. I know about how many times I've felt that way and then kind of just went on doing what I always do, or how many times I've fell on my face. I know my weaknesses and my temptations, just like you know your weaknesses and you know your temptations and you know your failures. And so you see this ideal, you see this adventure that God's calling you to, you see this beautiful vehicle of Christian life that He's given you, but you know yourself and you're thinking, wow, He's offered me something beautiful, but I'm not all that, even though He is, so maybe I'm not really going to go anywhere with this. I think there's a problem, though, that for us to recognize that if we recognize it and we see what the problem is and we look at God's answer to that problem, that we can apply His promises in practical ways and have a more vibrant, powerful Christian life that is going to go somewhere. So let's sum up what the problem is to begin with, and then we're going to look at God's answer for that. The problem, I think, really in a nutshell for some of us is that we look at the spiritual life that God offers us and what it can be, and we desire that. We have a desire for what God's offering us to have this exciting Christian life with Him, but we find out that we don't have the power in ourselves sometimes to really live that out the way that He's calling us to. But the good news is that God's Word speaks specifically to this, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. If you have your bulletin there with you, you probably already saw, but there's a couple key scripture passages. We're going to look at Romans 7, starting in verse 14, and then Ephesians 5, starting in verse 17. If you want to go ahead and go to Romans 7. And we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about this problem of the beauty and the excellency in the Christian life, but how we struggle sometimes really living that out, because Paul struggled with this. Oh, there's your beautiful new cars. The one on the left, I think, is an Aston Martin, and the one on the right's an Audi. I don't know if there's any fans, but they're pretty cool. So Romans 7, starting in verse 14, Paul speaking, he says, the trouble is not with the law. And he's speaking here about God's moral law, how to live an excellent life morally. The problem isn't the law, for it is spiritual and it's good. The trouble is with me, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. I really don't understand myself, for what I want to do is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree with the law, that it is good. I am not the one doing wrong, so I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin that lives in me still. It's sin living in my body, causing me to do wrong. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not the one really doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will set me free from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So here in Romans 7, God just brilliantly lays out in a clear way for us what the problem is in a way that we can understand. A lot of times in a message, I like to save kind of practical life application towards the end of the message, but we're actually going to go to life application now because of the nature of the message. So Ephesians 5 and 6 contain some of the most really profound parts of Scripture when it talks about having a healthy family life. And we've been talking about home improvement and a healthier family. And this applies to a victorious Christian life personally as individuals, but also to our families and our home life. And I want to talk about that for a minute. These verses offer insight into parenting, into submission, into marriage, into love. However, it's important us to understand Ephesians as one whole letter and all the parts fitting together. And so we need to look at all the verses that are preceding these practical instructions, because they have bearing, they have implications on our home life as well. The Apostle Paul addresses something critical for our home life in Ephesians 5, 17 through 21, and he speaks about the source of our power. The source of our power. And that is the Holy Spirit who indwells each Christian. And if we're to live out relationships in our home, if we're to have the home life, and even just the Christian life that we're supposed to have, the power comes from the Holy Spirit. So if you had a video game, for instance, say your video game's not working, Jesse. One of the places you might look, what if it doesn't come on at all? The little green light doesn't work. And so what you might do if it's plugged into a power strip is see, well, let's look at the power strip. Has that blown? Is there something going on with the surge protector? Because if the surge protector isn't working, it's cutting off the power to my video game. So the power isn't really in the video game console. The problem is I don't have power. That's where the problem lies. And the same is true of the individual Christian life that God is calling us to. And the same is true in our families when we find that we're really struggling sometimes to live out God's ideal. So how can we experience personal transformation in our Christian life, and how can we see improvement in our home life? Well, prior to this practical advice on home life further down in the passage, Paul gives us some really good insights from the Lord. And he gives three really practical solutions, practical applications to unleashing God's power in your family. And the first one of those, we're going to look at Ephesians 5:17. And it says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So Paul is compelling Christ followers to live wisely. He's saying that specifically you need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And after making a strong appeal of how we spend our time in the prior verses, it makes sense that he's telling us, listen, it's important for you to understand, to be intentional in how you're spending your time, and to know what God's will is. Because if you're going to effectively spend your time, you have to know what God's will is for your life and be doing that. And so Paul is saying, have clarity and be intentional, not to know God's will, but to do God's will. Be intentional to do God's will is really what he's saying. And this is a great way to do this. Life application one, and Kim and I are doing this week. Are you with me? Making a family mission statement. Establish a family mission statement. This is something that I've been really called to do and desiring to do for a long time. Patrick Morley with Man in the Mirror that I worked for several years, this is something that he is really emphatic about when he speaks to men's groups and to churches and men's leaders. Just, it is so critical for you to have clarity for the will of God for your family that you have a mission statement, something just to go back to. So to tie this into home life, a great first step is to adopt a clear mission statement to live by just day to day. Something that every member of your family can hopefully embrace, and it doesn't have to include all the details. Don't worry about including every dream, every goal, every aspiration of your family in there, but just really what matters most. What's the main thing for your family? So that's not too mysterious, it's not too profound, it's just simple. Everybody gets it. Passages such as 1 Thessalonians 4:1-3, they state clear instructions and include the phrase time and time again, "For this is the will of God." Yet even if such a mission is obvious, it's imperative that for a victorious Christian life and a healthy Christian home, that these decisions need to be clearly spelled out so we can remember it. And so I looked up a mission statement from a family, and I thought this was wonderful. I don't know that we can improve on this much, but we're going to try. But I wanted to share this with you. I thought this was really well done. This family's mission statement is, "It is our desire to honor our Lord Jesus in every endeavor, to reflect his grace and truth in everyday life, and to put one another before ourselves." I thought that was so in keeping with God's will for a family. So before we can really know, you know, because we do want to know the mysteries of God's will for our life, and we want to know the details and all the of every aspect of life, but really if we don't have the main thing, if we don't have the main goal of God's will for our family, it's hard to really get past that and know his will for the details. So I think it's good just for families to just, let's just spell it out. What do we think from Scripture God's will is for our family, just on a regular basis? What's always his will for us? God's will is like driving a car at night. So you steer your car to where the lights are shining. And so that's really what this mission statement based on Scripture does. It helps you to cast the light forward of what's in front of you now. And so as you keep that in front of you, and as you begin to move your family, your home life forward according to God's will for your family, God gives you more revelation. As you live this out, as you live out your mission statement, God provides more clarity for his will for your family and for your life, because you're doing his will. You're going with what he's already given you, what you've already sought him for. But if you ignore the will of God, if you ignore where the lights are shining, you don't stay on the road too long. You're in the ditch. And so it's important for us to take the time to do that. So make a list of things that you know are God's will for you, things that you know that you're supposed to do, And it's good even over time after, beyond this basic goal, as you set new goals for your family, to even set some of those on a calendar to just reflect on. As you schedule things regularly, you always go back and see that, along with all the busyness. This is our family statement. This is what we're living out. The life application number two that I want to share with you is, let Christ be the head of your home. I'm just going to summarize briefly for time's sake, but Ephesians 5, 22 through 6:5, and you can look at that in more detail, I hope you will, later. But a lot of people refer to this section as the family section of Scripture, or certainly of Ephesians. And it talks about wives submitting to husbands. In verse 22, it talks about husbands loving wives. In verse 25, it talks about children obeying parents and honoring them, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. But if you look at it, the most common chain of authority in this section, because we like to pick out a lot of those family relationships, but the most common chain of authority mentioned here is our relationship with the Lord, His lordship over us. If you look at that passage, these passages later, and look at how many times the lordship of Christ is mentioned again and again and again. In verses 23 through 27 and verse 29, they all speak of the Lord's role, His lordship, over all these other relationships that it's talking about. Our home life is not lived in a vacuum apart from the lordship of Christ. Our home life and our relationships are really to be lived out as an act of worship. That as things come in line with the will of God and under His authority, it's an act of worship to Him. In verse 21, it talks about the fear of the Lord. And another way to state that, the NIV talks about the reverence of the Lord. And that's really part of how we, even living out our marital relationship and relationships with parents or siblings or whomever, as we live those out in a way that Christ calls us to, that's recognizing that reverence that we have for Him. And as we live out our family mission daily, we never want to forget really what the ultimate reason for ever having that mission statement is that we want to honor Jesus Christ. We want to bring Him glory and honor. And one of the ways we do that is living out that mission statement and recognizing that He is the head of our home. And then finally, Paul gives more insight into how to transform the home life. Our life application number three, let the Spirit guide your conversation. Verses 18 through 21 speak to this, and I do want to read this to you and share this with you. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So believers, we're called to avoid drunkenness. We're called to avoid being under the control of substances, but we are called to be under the control and filled with the Holy Spirit, to be under the complete control of the Spirit of God. And note what the evidence is, because sometimes I think when we think of being Spirit-filled, sometimes people get some odd things that come into their mind of what that means necessarily, but if you look at the scriptures here, it notes the evidence of total control of the Spirit. It says, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in verse 19, it leads to giving thanks to the Father in everything. I think about my day and how many times during the day, whether it's something that I think is positive or negative or a struggle or a victory or whatever it is, how often am I really giving praise to the Father? Because it's not a sign of whether things are going my way, or shouldn't be, whether I'm praising Him. It's a sign of whether I'm being filled with the Spirit. And so we want to be in always in a situation where we're speaking to each other in hymns and spiritual songs, and we're giving thanks to the Father. And then also in verse 21, it says that it leads to willing mutual submission to the needs of others. That we're to be living out a love that's like Christ's love. We're to be living out a sacrificial submission to others out of reverence to Jesus Christ. As we're submitting to Him and His lordship, we're also submitting, because it's His call on us, to recognize the needs of others and to meet those needs above our own. And I read that and I think, what does a household look like that follows these instructions from Paul? Can you imagine a house that's full of praise all the time, a house that's full of thanksgiving to the Lord, a house that's full of love and submission to Jesus Christ? And then I have to ask myself, well, does that reflect my home? Does that reflect our relationships? Does that reflect my own heart being where it should be in submission to the Lord, that I'm being emptied and His Spirit is filling me up? How might your words reflect the Spirit's control in your life this coming week as you interact with your family, as you have conversations with coworkers? How would the filling of the Holy Spirit be reflected there in your speech in a way that honors Christ? When Christ takes over home life, He introduces the opportunity for a brand new atmosphere in that home, a brand new opportunity for joy and for love and for gratitude. It doesn't mean that it's going to be perfect. It never will be because of the human element there. There's going to be conflicts from time to time. But it does mean that as we surrender to Him, as we're intentional, which is where that mission statement can come into play, just intentional to surrender to the will of Christ in our family, the Holy Spirit has room to come in a more full way as we get out of His way, for Him to really have the lead there in our home. And when that happens, He gives us a new sense of purpose. We begin to understand that it's not about those just mundane day-to-day tasks. It's not about those conversations we have to have because we're married or because we have kids or what have you. But there's something more important going on here, that Christ is moving among us. His Spirit is working in us in a way to bring Him honor and glory because we're living life His way. And we begin to find our life is suddenly more meaningful and more rich and more full, even among the activities that seemed maybe before not to be so spiritual or so meaningful. So this evening, I want to challenge you, and I'm challenging my wife and I, to take a bold step to make a clear and intentional point of keeping the main thing in your family, which means that you're going to have a mission statement. That's our first life application tonight. You're going to have a mission statement for your family based on Scripture of God's will for your family. And then also we're going to recognize that living out this family mission statement means that we're letting Christ be the head of our home. We're not trying to be in charge anymore. That we're under His authority. His Spirit has reign there. And we're going to do this in such a way that we're living for the honor and the glory of Christ and for His pleasure. And one of the results of this, of Christ's headship, is going to be proven. It's going to be evidenced in the conversations that take place in our home, if we're really living that out, that the Spirit is going to guide our conversations. And that means there's going to be more grace in our conversations than what we can do in our flesh. And there's going to be more truth, you know. One of the sayings that I really like, and I think that it's scriptural, and I think that it's very beneficial for me, is that the more important thing than being right with right when I'm talking to somebody is being right with them. You know, Jesus had every right to stay on the throne of heaven. That was His right. But He set aside His rights to come here and be in right relationship, to make a way for us to be redeemed and have right relationship, because that relationship was more important than just His rights and being correct. And so I think it's good for us to understand that. Truth matters and being right matters, but we need to sometimes know when to not speak, even when we're right, and understand that it's the heart of Christ that we be in right relationship so we can share Him with other people so that they'll listen to us. Knowing these three life applications as we get ready to close, those are like the shiny new car. You know, through the Scriptures, we've been given a title to something shiny and new and beautiful in our relationship with the Lord. We've been given the keys, but without the power, it doesn't take us anywhere. And that power source to make the Christian life go and to make our homes the place that honors Christ the way He wants us to, the only way for that to happen is in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one who can do it. It's not us doing our best and working and striving and struggling until we're exhausted to try to be what Christ wants us to be. It's a matter of submission, so the Holy Spirit can really make that happen through us in a way that only he can do. It's a matter of surrender and repentance and obedience and love. So we're going to close in prayer, and then we have one more song that we can lift our voices to the Lord and worship. But let me close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, you tell us in your word, Lord, in Zechariah 4:6, that you will not succeed by your own strength. You will not succeed by your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, all-powerful. And Lord, in Philippians 4:13, you tell us that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And God, we just so need the truth of that applied to our lives. God, we want to live out what the Apostle Paul was talking about there in Philippians, and as he said in the context, Lord, that whether he was hungry or whether he was full, whether he had physical provision or not, Lord, no matter what the circumstance, whether he was in prison or free, Lord, no matter what, that he had the strength to do all things because of you. God, we're all facing different challenges tonight, and we need a strength that doesn't come from ourselves. And we're all facing dreams, Lord, good dreams based on your word, things we want to live out for the glory of Jesus in our life. We want to have lives that are impactful for your kingdom, Father. But our strength doesn't really match up to the challenge. So God, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to live in your strength, Lord, that your Spirit would be at work in us and through us in a more powerful way, Lord. God, I know to do that, that means that we have to die to self and live lives of repentance, that we have to be willing to get out of the way and have less of us so there can be more of you. So that's what I ask, Lord, for each person here and for myself, Lord, whatever that looks like in our lives, whatever it is that we need to let go, anything we need to leave at the cross, any frustration, any fear, whatever it may be, Lord, that you would build up our faith, that you would strengthen us by your Spirit. And Lord, we know your word says that you inhabit the praises of your children, so we just pray as we get ready, Lord, to lift up your praises again. God, would you move in our hearts in a powerful way, Lord, that pleases you and that changes us tonight before we leave. God, we love you, Lord, so much, and you are the desire of our hearts. So, Lord, we just invite you to have your way in us as we sing your praises. In Christ's name, amen. Please stand.